Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love.
For the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
All right. Hey, we're live here this morning. Happy Saturday, everyone. Good morning, Duval. This is Larry Williams, your co-host, along with Dr. Richard Danforth. Jarman Leitner is joining us live from Tennessee this morning. And Lauren Anthony is with us also in the studio. And we have a special guest this morning. And if our guy here, Steve, can get the boards going right, I'm going to continue on with the conversation. So it's always good to be here in the studio live, and it's a great Saturday morning. It's kind of foggy outside, Doc. What's going on in Jacksonville?
It's foggy outside.
Hey, Doc, before you get into your thing, you know, I was over at the Urban League yesterday. You were telling me about this tree that had fallen on the building. That wasn't the one that's on the side of the street, is it?
Yes, that's the one we cut down.
Oh, okay. I thought when you told me it was a big tree, I was...
Wait a minute. What are you trying to say? It's a small tree. No.
Well, good morning, Duval, again. Dr. Danforth is here with us in studio. We have a special guest this morning, the Honorable Paula D. Wright, who's the chairman of the Duval County Public Schools Board. And welcome, Paula.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, takes you back to the days of Viewpoints with Paula D. Wright.
Exactly. Huh? I love it. Feels good.
And you have your niece with you?
I have my niece, Aria. She's a fifth grader at Pine Forest.
Oh, great.
Welcome, Aria.
Okay.
Doc, what's going on? How was your week this week?
Oh, it's been a week, but let me, we've got some, we've got all kinds of news this morning, but let me just say a brief word about my experience this past weekend. For those of you who were listening on last week, you knew that I was up in St. Simon Island, Epworth by the Sea, in a silent spiritual retreat. So 2.5 days, we had an opportunity to work together without speaking and without listening to the TV and the radio. And it was very stimulating, rewarding, and just a spiritual experience. Just being there, the ambiance, the beauty. We were up at, and you know, where we were is the former Hamilton Plantation. So being there, you know, knowing that my ancestors were there, responsible for a lot of what you see, you know, doing all the labor, you know, for free. But anyway, it was a very it's very stimulating. I would encourage others to do just that. On a negative note, obviously every Saturday we've been talking about the homicide tracker here in Duval County, and I am not happy to report this morning that we've had our 100th homicide. That's 100 of people being either shot, beaten to death, run over, strangled, stabbed, suffocated, or thrown out of a window. So people are dying. And we can't seem to, get a handle on the homicides. Now, we've passed the budget for Lenny Curry, and we now have been approved for 100 new police officers. So we're anticipating that the crime rate would definitely go down now. And so we're looking forward to that. But I want to encourage the community to really come together, because it's not going to – the police can't do it alone. We're going to have to do it in our community. We're going to have to take control of what's going on in our lives. But so that's 100, ladies and gentlemen, and this is October, so we have November and December to go. So we have already had more homicides this year than we had all of last year.
Okay.
All right.
So well, thanks.
That's
for
what I wanted to.
Thanks for the update on
I know you don't like the update.
It is what it is.
It is what
right.
it is.
I try to start our show out with some positive things, and Doc always takes us down early in the morning. But it's Saturday morning, you know.
Well, we're going to come back up now.
Let's try to get the vibe back up. I'm so happy to have Jarman J Light, as we like to call her, in Tennessee. Are you on the air, Jarman?
Yes, I am here. Good morning, Jacksonville. Good morning, Dr. Danford and Larry and Lauren and the Honorable Paula Wright. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. How are you?
Yeah,
I'm doing well.
How's the weather in Tennessee? Are you the only 10 they see over there?
Larry, you have jokes this morning, Larry.
He's on a roll, you know.
The weather here is really nice. It is so cool and crisp in the morning and at night, and so right now it's very cool. My husband just came in from being outdoors and saw a black bear.
So
he came in excited. You know, of course, if I had been out there, I would have been nervous.
A grizzly.
But that's an interesting adjective that you used, excited.
Yes. I think I could have found several others that would have been more to my liking if it had been me seeing the bear, but that's a whole nother thing.
I know. I said I probably would have been, you know, a little terrified. He was excited. So we're just enjoying being in the mountains. We're actually attending a friend's wedding. So we're celebrating. So okay. No silence, Dr. Dan. We're shouting, okay?
All right.
So giving God the glory for another commitment and a union before God. So we're enjoying it.
Great. And L.A. Live.
L.A. Live.
Yeah. Lauren Anthony.
I don't know, Lauren. How do we feel about this?
I think we need to come up with a name for Larry.
Larry is enough. We're going to just stay with that, okay? All right, so welcome, Lauren, and how are you today?
I'm doing good. Happy Saturday, everyone.
Great. And Steve, are you doing okay today? You got everything worked out on that side. We're good now, right?
He better eat one of these donuts.
Dr. Danford, did I miss out on the donuts that you bring?
Yeah, I brought donuts because I knew you were not going to be here.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I knew the school board chair was coming. So we've got the university the university donut shop. Yeah.
Okay, so he's throwing that on you on your plate, Paula.
I'm going to eat one too.
Well, we're not going to allow him to have one until the show's over. He's already on the roll. Steve, how are we looking on time? All right. So, look, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on this morning and introduce our guest in who's the representing District 4 of the Duval Public Schools, the Honorable Paula D. Wright. And Dr. Danford, you want to introduce our guest? You've known Paula for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah, we've known each other for many, many years.
Yes, go back.
You know, in the struggle. And let me just say publicly, let me commend Paula for the leadership that she is exhibiting as chair of the Duval Public School Systems Board. I tell you, it's really refreshing. We're getting a handle, Paula, on what's going on over there, and I understand that there's a report that we should hear about on next week in terms of what happened to that $21 million.
Yes,
we over-budgeted, and, well, that we overspent.
Overspent.
Yeah. So
Good morning, and thanks for your kind words. I just want to first, just thank my constituents because this has been a great joy to serve the public. But let me just, if you don't mind, refresh the public in terms of the overspending of the $21 million. When our new superintendent came board on May 22nd, we learned on July 1, which is the day that we budget for the new year.
You say new, the acting?
Yes,
the interim.
The interim, yeah. Right, okay. Dr. Willis. Okay. So Dr. Willis did not come on board until May 22nd. The budget was already done.
Right.
So when we close out for the end of the year, which is June 30th, on July 1, we get a report in terms of how much money was actually spent. And it was on July 1 that it was then discovered that we overspent $21 million. So by state statute, the district can only have to keep a minimum of 3% of our reserves, 3% of the money in reserves.
How much would that be, 3%?
That 3% was about $47 million, but we kept 5% because we understand we're dealing with education and different things happen, and you don't want to get to that 3%. If you dip below the 3%, the state can actually come and take
over.
Well,
what you're saying that maybe we can't count well if we're budgeting more than we really should budget, right, Lyle?
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, it's like a savings account.
We understand. Hey, look, we're going to come back to that, okay. Paula. We're going to expand on that when we get back after this, a couple of songs here, at least one here, and give the folks something that they came on to listen to this morning, and we all love our praise music. So, Steve, give us a cut, and then we're going to come back and with the Honorable Paula D. Wright and talk more about the Duval Public School System, the education, the budget, and more.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9. Praise 107.9.
Sometimes the hardest person for you to forgive is the one you see in the mirror every day. It's time for you to get free. Sing fire.
I decided to stop replaying regrets. And I decided to tell
everything in
my past goodbye. I cannot change what I did.
No.
But it didn't change what you gave when you took my place. No more guilt but grace.
Time to let it go.
Held on way too long. Watching reruns of my wrong take the shame away.
No more.
Reliving mistakes you washed away.
So I want you to do what God has already done for you and say,
I forgive me.
It may have taken a while to get to this point, but
I forgive me.
If God has forgiven you, why can't you do the same?
I forgive me.
It's time to stop looking back. So God's purpose can move you forward.
I forgive me.
You may be saying, James, but you don't know my past. I was wrong.
Yeah, I know it was wrong.
Carried this weight
for too long.
I want you to get free right now and say,
I forgive me.
You've been hard on yourself long enough.
I forgive me.
You've always felt like you weren't good enough, but that's over.
I forgive me.
Mistakes don't get to make you.
I forgive me.
God knew what you'd do, and He still chose you.
Yeah, I know it was wrong. Carry this weight for too long.
But you've been carrying this weight for far too long.
I forgive me.
Now letting go can be the most difficult part of this process. To have a memory of your past, but not allow those memories to produce the same pain in your future. But today, it's time for you to get your life back. Instead of staying down feeling sorry for yourself, I want you to pick yourself back up and let it go.
I'm letting it go.
The pain of yesterday.
I'm letting it go.
You've already taken too much from me.
You won't steal my future anymore.
The memory of every mistake.
I'm letting it go.
It's time to receive God's grace.
I'm letting it go.
You can't change His mind about you anyway.
You won't steal my future anymore.
Father, so pick up the phone and call.
maybe you didn't get it right the first time.
I forgive me.
But God has already forgiven you.
I forgive me.
Now it's time for you to forgive yourself.
I forgive me.
Don't let who you were interfere with who God's allowing you to become.
Hey, and we're back. This is Larry Williams with the Empowerment Hour. We're in studio this morning with LA Live, Lauren, and Dr. Richard Danford. Doc.
Good morning.
And Jarman is, Jay Light is joining us live from Tennessee somewhere. And also we have our very special guest, Paula Wright, the Honorable Paula Wright, who's the chairman. And I just kind of gets me my tongue twisted. I want to say chairwoman or chairperson, but I'll say chairman because that's what it had listed on the Duval Public Schools website. So we're going to go with chairman. Chairman Wright, I heard you this morning, and thank you for being a part of the show this morning.
Thank you. Well, I've been called worse, huh? As I was saying before the break, in terms of the $21 million that was overspent, we realized it on the first, and now what we've done is, the reserve is our savings account. In the wisdom of the board, we decided to not just have a 3% reserve that's mm-hmm. required. We went 5%. Because after 7 years of being on this board and other members with experience on the board, we understand that sometimes initiatives come up that we may want to do.
Absolutely.
And so we want to make certain we always had money in reserves to do that. So we're going to have a report on the reserves, on the overspending on this Tuesday, the 10th, the 11th. Mm-hmm. And it's going to just share with us which initiatives, which programs we did overspend. So there was never a question about was money misappropriated or was money missing in any way. It was simply to determine where did we overspend.
Okay.
And which
programs. Yeah, but you had, Paula, I understand you had two sets of books. You have the computerized system.
Right.
And then, of course, the former superintendent had his own books. And in essence, he had an opportunity to do things really without consent from the school board, without permission or approval.
Well, that has not been discussed yet with anyone. Mm-hmm. And if you want to phrase it that way, that's you can phrase it that way. Here's what
that's the reporter coming out.
That's the reporter coming out of Danford. But we did have budgeted items. There was items that were overspent on certain items, and the auditor, our auditor that reports only to the board, will give us a clear step-by-step process of which items were overspent.
Okay. And Paula, you're representing District 4 for the school board. And what area of Jacksonville is that, so that we can be clear for your constituents?
I represent District 4, which is primarily Urban Core North Side, so from First Coast High School, Ocean Wade area, to the East Side, Long Gilbert, Long Branch, mm-hmm. To the Northwest. East West is Rebalt High School. To Northwestern.
Okay.
Area. So what about Larry? Paula, why is it that our youngsters out on in different schools are having such a difficult time reading? Why is it so difficult to learn how to read with all the technology we have and all of our qualified teachers and of course parent involvement? Is there something happening that they're not learning? Or what?
Well, for us, the last 4 years have been challenging because under the previous superintendent, the curriculum was changed 3 times.
In 4 years?
In 4 years. And we struggled with that. We grappled with that. Some of us were beaten up because of the pushback that we mm-hmm. gave the superintendent and the questions we asked. And part of our problem as in education in Florida is that the statute gives certain aspects to the superintendent. So even though we didn't want, now I did not vote for a particular curriculum, and I didn't vote for some of the changes, you know, to move it each year, but it's ultimately in the hands of the superintendent. And I think one of the things that we have to help our constituents to understand is that some of the issues have to go to Tallahassee so that we could perhaps look at changing statute mm-hmm. that does not give total authority in certain aspects
right.
to the superintendent, regardless if the board agrees or not, mm-hmm. he or she can still do so.
You know, there's in the school district here at Duval Public Schools, we have 196 total schools, as according to your website, and almost 129,000 students enrolled. 44% of those are African Americans. Right. And, you know, if we believe the news media, Paula, that the public schools is a public schools charter school controversy going on, and as I've read, and my information tells me that the charter schools are part of the Duval public school system. Is that
it
correct?
Is the 196 include charter schools. We have 36 charter schools currently in Jacksonville. One of the things that we understand, because we believe in the mission every child
right
every day, so we understand that we must support charter schools in terms of resources that we have, that we give to all students, because also the data would show they come back because there's something that they're not receiving over there in certain schools, and even if it's a change within a Duval traditional public school mm-hmm. to another Duval traditional public school, is meeting the needs of the child.
Okay.
So we are committed to making certain that we make certain every child, I don't care what building they're in, even though with charter schools they have their own board, they have their own governing process, and they don't share funding. And that the only problem we have or concern we have with charter schools is that we do not have any say-so. They want resources, they want the FTE for students, mm-hmm. but then when it comes to how are the children doing, it's back on Duval.
Absolutely.
It's back on the district.
So, you know, maybe in our next segment, Larry, we can talk some about mental health and what's happening with our kids at a very early age. And, you know, Jarman and, you know,
right.
y'all may...
Absolutely, yeah. Doc. And you know, we know that behavior is a big part of our educational system or one of the challenges of getting our kids educated. And when we come back, we're going to bring in L.A. and Jay Light and let them talk about a little bit about what's going on from the mental health standpoint and ask some questions direct to Paula and see what she has to say about how we're doing and what we're doing as far as educating our kids and making sure that all of our kids are at the point of learning and having the opportunity to learn. And we'll talk about some of your thoughts about that, Pauline, when we come back. Okay, this is Praise 107.9, the Empowerment Hour. We're going to be back, but if you want to call in and ask any questions, the phone number is area code 904-296-2251, area code 904-296-2251. This is the Empowerment Hour, Praise 107.9.
Is more gospel than the new Praise 107.9? That's right. Ain't nobody playing more.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Joy instead of more. feeling more secure knowing you're so
give me joy down deep in my soul. That's for real, Lord. And I just want to say this is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour with Dr. Richard Danforth, Doc in L.A. over here in the corner, and Jarman J. Light on the phone over here in Tennessee. And we have our special guest, Paula. They're still trying to get used to our, yeah, our names over here. And before we get back to Paula, I want to also compliment and thank everyone here and the listeners, because we had a great event last Thursday at the Jacksonville Urban League with the Honorable Anna Lopez Brochet, the president of the Jacksonville City Council. And we want to thank her. I know she's listening this morning. I want to thank you for coming out and participating and answering all the questions that we had there at the meeting. And we really appreciated you taking that time to spend with us. And we've gained a lot of valuable information, and we're going to gain a lot more valuable information here about Seattle Public Schools. Jacksonville Public Schools. I got to transfer my mind thought from one city to the other. And we got some background noise from somewhere, maybe Jarman, that I'm getting feedback.
They're running from that bear.
and we have to share that story on the air. But let's get back to first of all, let's take this caller. So he's been waiting patiently on the line. And Daryl. Good morning. Yes. Happy Saturday. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour. You had a question for the Honorable Paula D. Wright?
Yes, I do. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, this is a blessed Saturday. My question is in the school system in Duval County, can they speed up the process of getting the kids that I know you're speaking about mental health and getting ready to go into that? But you do have kids that are on medication, and the processes, can they be a little bit faster in getting them out of the regular mainstream classes and getting the special help that they need? Is there a process that could be done a little bit quicker?
I think we're going to pass that one on to L.A. or Jarman and let them speak on that thing. I'm sure that Paula will have some more information and take that back to under advisement about what we're doing. But Jarman or L.A., what do you guys think about that question?
Okay, so the question, just to make sure I understand, is there a process to expedite or speed up having a child be a part of the special education program and removed from mainstream if they are on medication and need the additional help?
Okay.
Is that correct?
Is that the question?
It is. Also, there's one other part to it, too, and that is that when the kid has been identified like that, I know sometimes it seems like a longer process for them to get them out of the classroom. The teacher's already got documentation on them. called DCF and every and all the other proper situations and proper authorities and school psychologists to see, and it's still that there's a drag. Is there a better process? Are you going to put a better process in place to get them out of the classroom? Because there's a disruption to the teacher and the other students and that particular kid.
Okay, well, I cannot personally speak on what Duval County schools can do about the process, but as far as the parents and the caregivers, you can definitely be an adamant advocate for your child. Okay, if that child needs to be removed, or if you are a parent whose child is being disrupted because of the other child's behavior, then you can advocate for your child because it's interfering with their learning. So you just have to stay on top of it and make sure that you make the necessary phone calls or take the visits down to the district or down to the child's particular school, because I believe that there are a lot of children who need that service, so there may be a wait list. I do know in the area of healthcare, when it comes to mental health and behavior, there are a lot of needs, so sometimes there are wait lists for those children and for those particular services. So I just encourage caregivers and parents to just be a big advocate and stay on top of it.
All right. That's
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you know, we can always be our, you can always be your advocate for your own child. You know, you don't have to get permission to be your own advocate. And those are the things that, you know, we're going to be talking about over the coming segments of the show and also different shows. And one of the things that we've always been addressing here for the past 6 months is the mental health of our kids in school and addressing those. And that's one of the features that that's why we have Jarman and Lauren here, because they are professionals in that field, and we want to make sure we take advantage of that. Paula, you had something that you wanted to say on that?
Well, I certainly appreciate the question, because the disruption of class, whether it's due to a student just discipline because of just behavior problem or mental health, is important to all of us. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we've done, and as a matter of fact, we just passed this on Tuesday night, in order to help facilitate the best educational process for all of our students in John Rebalt High and Middle, as well as Silent Mathis Elementary. They're all on one campus, basically. We are now going to have clinics, an expanded clinic in each of the schools.
Oh, wow.
Okay. We passed this Tuesday night, so they're in the process. It's a collaboration with Baptist, Nemours, UF Shands, Agape Services, and the Sulzbacher Center. So it would allow more medical services and attention to be given to students in the buildings, as well as referrals. So if we are having particular problems, we now will have a medical director from Shands that will expand and be able to help and guide. We will also have a nurse on site at the middle and high school. The elementary children at Silent Mathis, because they're elementary, the parents will have to walk them within the campus, but to our full service center for services.
Okay.
So we at Duval, we understand we're really trying to meet that whole child by providing medical. We understand how medical needs can help improve the educational learning for our children. So that's an expansive initiative that we just passed this past Tuesday night.
Okay, so John and LA guys got that right. So go over and make sure that Harvest Intervention Services is participating in the piece of the pie here. You know, we got to spread the wealth around to our community businesses as well. We wanted to talk a little bit about the mental health aspects of the public school system and charter schools as well, because, you know, all of our kids need to have an equal opportunity to learn, and we need to make sure that we take care of that. And I know that I just said that, but my producer over here is telling me that we have a caller on the air, and we want to make sure that we get all of our callers' questions asked. If we can't answer it, we'll get the answer for you. So, Linda, good morning. Happy Saturday.
Good morning. How are you, everybody? Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. My question is for Chairman Wright. It's in reference to the curriculum. I recently retired from Duval County School Systems, but I worked as a curriculum coordinator in another district for a while up north. not north, but north of here. And what we did with our curriculum, it wasn't left up to the district office to actually decide what we were going to do. What I did, I called different representatives in from the companies, such as Scott Borland, Houghton Mifflin, different ones that came in, and they gave a presentation of the new curriculum. And I set up a evaluation sheet, and the teachers actually voted on the one that we wanted, and I presented it to the district, and the district approved. Is that something that can be done in Duval County, or is the district too big for something like that to take place?
No, ma'am. Our district has always done that, and prior to my election, I served as on that committee. We have the same process, but the ultimately the choice is that comes before the board comes from the superintendent. The board members do not get into that detail. We do not have the day-to-day operations is solely in the hands of the superintendent, but the process is the same. The interviews, they come in, they do their presentations. We do receive information about how the various companies were scored, but the it comes from the superintendent.
Okay.
Okay, so you're saying that the teachers actually got involved in the selection?
Yes, ma'am.
Process?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right. Well, Linda, thank you for calling in this morning. We appreciate the question, and now we're going to go to L.A. and Jay Light and see what they have to say about the process.
Okay. So we recognize the need for meeting the social, emotional, and behavior needs of the students, and that's a great resource to know that they're bringing the services to the community, and that prevents a lot of barriers for the parents, such as transportation and different things like that. So what would be the result of bringing these services to the community? Should we expect a dropout rate to decrease among that community? What would be the overall goal of bringing those services to the community?
From the district perspective, we are anticipating that, one, we will see improved grades. Okay. Because students will be able to, just for allergies, just for sinuses, colds, different, the day-to-day kind of routine, I don't feel good. That mm-hmm. Now we will have within those buildings a nurse that could take care of those needs for the students. Long-term, better graduation rates, but short-term, more focused in class, improved grades, and also include improved behavior, because a lot of times a child is not feeling well, they act out.
Absolutely.
So it's a consortium of different opportunities for our students to improve that not just their academics, but their social and their emotional health. But also, we also have in all of our middle schools a sociologist that's dealing with the mental. We have a grant. It's called AWARE. So this is the second year of their grant, and it provided a social worker and sociologist in all of our middle schools to help us deal with the mental awareness issues.
Okay.
We're going to take a break, but maybe when we return, we can talk some, Paula, about the disparities that exist between certain schools. historically, we've been concerned whether enough resources are being placed in low-achieving schools. I don't understand. Are they getting the same money per child and resources? And maybe when we come back, you can tell us more about that.
Okay. Hey, this is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We're here with the chairman of the Duval Public Schools, Paula Wright. Doc is here, L.A. is here, and Jay Light. So we'll be back after these messages. You can call in at 296-2251, 296-2251. This is Praise 107.9, the Empowerment Hour.
New Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience. The ultimate gospel experience.
This is for them rough days, when you feel like giving up days. That's right. Here's a little something, put a smile on your face.
Reminisce on all the things you do.
Come on.
I can't imagine my life without
second verse right here, y'all. Check it out. I never knew.
Never knew I'd be so secure.
But come on.
Brand new mayday.
It's gonna be a brighter day.
It's gonna be a brighter day.
And if you believe that, I want you to do this with me right here. All my people, can you clap your hands? All my people, can you clap your hands? Don't be ashamed, come on, clap your hands. Don't be scared, come on, clap your hands. If you can feel me, can you clap your hands? If you can hear me, can you clap your hands? No doubt, y'all, it's gonna be a brighter day. And all my people say, what?
I never knew I could be so happy.
Jesus, I never knew. Because of your love, Father. I want to let you know it's going to be. Come on. That's right. That's right. Change it up a little bit right here. What? Get up! Get up! Can we finish it? We gonna do something right here. Come on!
Here's what's happening in our area. Adventures in Marriage is a weekend workshop that challenges couples to take their relationship to the next level. Learn practical skills in communication, conflict resolution, and emotional regulation in an interactive and safe environment. Learn to Read Jacksonville is hosting its third annual night at the library. It's a weekend evening event at the main public library downtown. Learn more about these and other activities at the events page at praise1079.com.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Yeah, yeah. You know you always on time for me. And know you never told lies to me. Tell me why you want me, Lord. You can call me your property. You never been rude, no. Don't know what's going on anymore. And I could try and do things my way, but it just ain't the same. How can I replace your love? You got so much to give, and you got so much to lend. I don't deserve what you give, Lord. I do not deserve your love. You got so much
to give. Well, you know, I was going to do a little song for you guys, but my wife told me not to sing anymore on the air. So,
well, you deserve a little.
Hey, look, we were talking about resources and things that were going on. And Doc, you wanted to ask that question again?
Sure. Just curious as to how funding is allocated to schools. It seems to me that if the schools are struggling and they're low achieving, mm-hmm. it makes sense perhaps to provide more resources. Okay. And so, Paula, would you clear that up?
Thank you for the opportunity to give some information on that, because I think people will need to know that you're right. All students receive a certain amount. Right now it's about $7,500 per student. But in our lower performing schools, we do provide more resources. And the additional dollars comes from our Title I dollars. Mm-hmm. So Title I dollars only goes to those schools who are in a particular economic median. So financially, yes, we have more resources. So we take those dollars and we provide more teachers, in terms of support. We provide in terms of para. We make certain we have a lot of paras in those schools, because we can only put one teacher in a classroom.
A paraprofessional.
That is a full-time person, a second person that's not a teacher, that's in the room, that's assisting the teacher. We also provide supplemental materials, different materials, because you have so many students at different levels. We also provide school tutoring in some schools, after school tutoring. Around December, we start our Saturday school tutoring for those schools. So there are resources. The bottom line is that if students come in K and they're tested at pre-K or lower level, it takes time to movement. One of the most important things we've done this past year is to create our own teacher retention process. Now, what we're going to do with our teachers is that it's scalable, 1 to 3 years experience, 4 to 7, etc. So based upon, make certain we're retaining teachers, we are providing training to those teachers throughout the entire year. We're also providing a small financial incentive, but we're also providing to them training during the summer, and we're also providing more support throughout the entire school year. And right now, Duval County sits at 98% of all of our classrooms being filled by teachers, because we implemented this program the last year and we've worked it. So we are very much concerned about how we're moving, and our students in those lower performing schools are moving. Last year we had a number of D and F schools. We only have one F school in Duval County. We don't have we are improving. It's moving. Mm-hmm. It's not moving at the rate that we wanted, but it's moving. And with the new retention program, the new recruitment program for teachers, that's the butt of it. But more importantly, with the more structured, focused, intentional process of reading, we're going to make even more gains. The Duval County School Board has determined last year, actually, that literacy is our focus. So we have given this to the superintendent. This is our focus. Now the superintendent has come up with a plan on how to achieve that focus.
Speaking of the superintendent, what's the status of the current interim superintendent, Dr. Patricia Willis, and as the replacement for Dr. Vitti, how's she doing? What's the status on the process for getting and having a permanent superintendent?
Well, let me first commend Dr. Willis and on all counts. I don't think you can find anybody that could give her praise. Our culture has changed. Our focus has changed. We are now more engaged as a entire district under her leadership. She speaks very softly, but one of the things, the common description of Dr. DeWillis is that we appreciate the fact that she doesn't get excited about everything.
She's not hot. She doesn't have everybody all stressed out, huh?
And regardless whether it was Hurricane Irma,
her
mannerism was the same, okay? She's listening, and then she's writing, and then she's giving direction. Awesome. So we appreciate that. We are, the board is in the process of completing its development. We decided we want to go through leadership development, so that as we marshal this task forward in terms of selecting another superintendent, that we understood what we were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And also we have changed our strategic plan. And now we're going to be coming to the community by the end of, we will have all of our community meetings done by November 15th.
Yeah, I remember before they selected Vidi, I believe they had already selected him. But anyway, that process, you know, there was quite a bit of community involvement
right.
in that. So are we looking to have
yes.
involvement?
Yes, we're going to have involvement for the community. As I said, we have. I don't have the dates in front of me because we have to coordinate, but we're getting ready to do four meetings by November 15th, and we're going to present to the public our strategic plan
okay.
as a district, because that plan then determines what type of person we want.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, Duval County is public schools. It's one of the 20th largest
yes.
school district in the country. And sixth largest here in the state of Florida. So is there's a national search going to be conducted?
We have not voted on anything, but we had tentatively talked about making certain it's a national search so that we can tap the best person we possibly can.
Okay. Well, I mean, how you know? I mean, we probably have enough talent here in Duval County rather than running off to and having a Lone Ranger come in here and tear it up, and then, I mean, like a whirlwind, and I mean, come on now.
Well,
you know, this is not rocket science, okay? It's politics.
Well,
okay,
but
that's what it is.
Well, and you know, as the chair of the board at this moment, we're trying to ensure that we take the politics out for us. And we're really focused on doing that, and we do that by making certain that we hear from everybody. So the
Absolutely.
Process will be very inclusive and very broad.
Great.
Okay, I have a question, Chairman Paula. You mentioned literacy as the district's focus. Are there any programs established or that are being developed to assist the parents who have challenges with literacy? About 25% of adults are functionally illiterate, so they have challenges in helping the students read and bring up their reading scores if they're not able to read with their child. I know weekly my son has an assignment one day a week to mm-hmm. read with a parent, and mm-hmm. if I wasn't able to read, I couldn't help him. So can you expound on that?
We do. We have a number of programs, and because we have so many different schools and that represent so many different cultural processes, but we have a number of programs under our Parent Academy that all of our initiatives under Parent Academy now focuses on how do we help our parent become more engaged. How do we help our parents to be an advocate? How do we help our parents improve their reading level? So we are offering reading, how to read to your child, how to we give them questions, the three questions, regardless whether you can read or not, that you can ask your child, whether you've read that book or not, you know, to help the parent understand the connection and the value of interacting with that child. And that makes all the difference. But we have a list of programs via Parent Academy, and they are parent and child-centered.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. And, you know, we wanted to also talk a little bit about your background. I understand you and I have some parallels as far as careers and lifestyles, and you were a former publisher of a newspaper and hosted your own radio show. What was the name of the show?
Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Paula D. Wright. And that was a successful program, I'm sure. And
it was fun.
Do you miss it? Well, that's what
she used to say what she wanted to say. It was her show.
and that's why we start this show, you know, to give our community, I think you said in some of the comments I read about you, was giving the community a voice.
Yes.
And that's very important, and that's why we have this program here at Empowerment Hour every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on Praise 107.9. And you also stated you're a servant leader, and I think you and I talked a little bit about this. And I was asking, had you pursued your pastoral deal?
No, I'm not. But God is ahead of my life, and I include God in everything I do.
Absolutely.
And that's where the servant comes from. And also, I sing in my choir, y'all. I'm so proud.
No, say that then, because
is that soprano?
I can't sing.
I am alto, and I don't want to lead. I tell them every day, I lead enough. I just want to enjoy
there
God's
you go.
Word.
Absolutely.
And the ministry in
Absolutely.
Terms of music. So I just have a good time.
Yes, yes, yes. That's wonderful. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, praising God and giving him all the glory and things, but it's good to be around people who are spiritual and like-minded in that thought. So we're getting ready to wrap up here, Doc. We got about 2 or 3 minutes left, and let's go around the board. Jarman, since you have you to tell us a story about your bear right quick.
No.
well, it's really not my story. I tell you, I didn't see the bear. So as my husband came in excited that he saw the bear, so it wasn't really much to it. I think he tried to get a snapshot of it, but I did want to mention a couple of events that are going on today over in Councilman Love's District 14. They have an Avondale 5K Classic at Boone Park. If anybody likes to you know, participate in those events. Dr. Danford, I know you all had one a few weeks ago. You may want to get going in another one today. They also have a yard sale at Orange Park Town Hall today. We can find a lot of good items at a reasonable price.
Oh, you can find those. You can find those on the side of the road.
go ahead, Jarman, please. Doc got jokes all over the place this morning.
And also there is a rock shrimp festival, okay? So, but that's in downtown St. Mary's, okay, in Georgia. So if you're into rock music or shrimp or both, there's a festival downtown St. Mary's, so that you can participate in that today.
Okay, I can't pass this up. Miss Julia, I hope you're listening.
She loves those rock shrimp.
So anyways, Lauren, right quick.
Okay, and we can't forget about the Black Expo that's going on. It's expected
to
draw about 14,000 people to the event this weekend.
Right.
So y'all get
great.
Out there and get some support.
Yeah, I was there last night, I tell you. And they had a really neat crowd, and food was good. And, you know, so folks getting ready.
Chairman.
Well, let me thank you. Thank you, Mr. Williams. Thank you, Dr. Danford, and L.A. and
and J-Line. We need shirts.
And J-Line for this great opportunity. And I just want to just put this one thing in. We the board has its legislative platform, and